This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hi, and welcome back to The Fearless Lover. I'm your host, Adam Gilad. Today, we continue with part two of exploring the gift of the masculine to the dance of love. When that release happens, when that freedom from constraint, when the runner breaks free of the tacklers, suddenly all the worries and responsibilities of the world disappears. We all have both masculine and feminine essences. And none of these particular qualities should summarize or be the complete person. To bring your masculine gift to your feminine lover, you must move toward living your freedom to be your most express self fearlessly, and that means killing what holds you back. Will life hurt you? Will you suffer malice and betrayal? Absolutely you will. I personally guarantee it. But how will you handle it when it happens? The near enemy of purpose is radical selfishness. You think you're serving a high purpose, but instead you're escaping being present to those you love. How the masculine aspect that we, as either men or women, most often as men, can contribute to the growth and expansion of love in our lives. And we're looking at the gift of the masculine by way of the work of David Deida, the man who Marianne Williamson said about, quote, in the area of sacred intimacy, David Deida is holding a lightning bolt. He sheds an astonishing light. Unquote. And yes, he does. And elsewhere, he's been called the guy with the biggest balls in contemporary spirituality. And I love that phrase because it's a kind of relentlessness, a kind of devotion, a kind of rigor to live the kind of life of love that really The Fearless Lover, this whole series, is about. It takes insight, it takes wisdom, and it takes work. It takes practice. And David Deida calls himself a teacher of practical spirituality, taking it out of the sky and putting it back into the body where it belongs. Last week, in the last episode, we talked about the first pillar of the gift of the masculine in the realm of love, and that was developing a sense of purpose or mission. Today, we're going to speak about two of the other three pillars that I've kind of honed down from his work, The Way of the Superior Man. The first one being a passion for freedom. This is for the masculine. And the second, developing presence. So let's get right into it. The second of the three pillars of the gift of the masculine in the realm of creating love is to understand and express your passion for freedom. The masculine, as he describes it, has a powerful urge for freedom, while the feminine has a powerful urge to flow love into connection. These are two very different processes and dynamics. You find this polarity between masculine and feminine in just about every tradition. God the Father and Mary the Mother. In Shiva, who's the fire who burns away illusion, therefore getting freedom. And Parvati, his big-breasted swaying consort. In the Kabbalistic tradition, you have the infinite, ungraspable, masculine aspect of God called Chokhmah, or wisdom, consciousness, and paired with it, Shekhinah, which is the feminine aspect of God that inhabits the earth and infuses it with love at every point. So you find this division throughout tradition, and frankly, in today's culture, you don't always find this tradition. You find that everyone is expected to take care of themselves, really to be masculine, on their own. And in many ways, especially in a therapeutic context, women are asked to not express that deep feminine need for connection and just try to take care of themselves in a kind of masculine way. Now, what all these theologies and all these traditions reflect is the feminine and masculine nature of God or of the divine, but more importantly to me here and to you here in this series, The Fearless Lover, is how is this divinity expressed as who we are, as the masculine and feminine. Now, I don't know anyone who riffs better on this subject of the masculine and feminine and the masculine needing to break free than Data. He talks about sports, how when men watch sports, it's all about that urge for freedom, breaking into freedom, how we scream orgasmically when a touchdown happens or when a baseball clears the outfield fence. There's a buildup of tension and release into a kind of freedom, just like sex, which most men experience as building to a kind of release. When that release happens, when that freedom from constraint, when the runner breaks free of the tacklers, suddenly all the worries and responsibilities of the world disappears in this one-pointedness, in the ecstasy, release, and fleeting freedom of the moment. So the first aspect of freedom is freedom without constraint. It is above and it's beyond the concerns of the minute, and it's something to cultivate. It exists, this inner freedom, whatever the conditions around you, whatever the surrounding difficulties, challenges, or obstacles. It's what Data calls consciousness, male, masculine consciousness. And it's something the masculine taps into. It's kind of a universal mind in some ways that you can tap into. Now, I have a flyer above my desk. I printed it out from something I once found online. And it's a Buddhist sort of poem or reminder by someone named Shantideva. And it says, "Whenever I am eager for praise or have the desire to blame others, whenever I have the wish to speak harshly and cause dispute, at such times I should remain like a piece of wood." That is, to remain steady and free of impulse and need, free of attachment, free of aversion, what Shantideva repeatedly calls in each stanza, "I shall remain a piece of wood." That's a kind of freedom. And I'd like to point out, that's a kind of freedom that appeals to men, to be that stoic piece of wood in the midst of the storm. Generally, the feminine isn't that attracted to the image of being like a piece of wood. The feminine tends to like to move and be more like water. So freedom, masculine freedom, what we bring to a love relationship, and we'll look at this in detail in a few moments, is freedom from being slaves to emotion, as well as being free from being slaves to the opinion of others. But there's a second aspect of freedom I want to talk about that is the masculine gift. And it's not just freedom from conditions. It's freedom to be uniquely your highest self. It's an inner freedom that's earned, usually through challenge. Now, Data talks about this. He talks about how the masculine craves to live life on the edge, to test ourselves, to grow through challenge, to earn achievement. And this is the only way we trust our inner confidence. We don't trust ourselves unless we conquer and rise. And when men don't always find the outlets to really test their core, they'll do it by watching movies about other people testing their core or playing video games. Now, I don't really have to nail home what a pale reflection that is of true masculinity. It's like an echo of what men really want. One way of testing that, of course, what's the difference in sexual polarity a woman will feel from a guy who gets out there and fights in the world, a volunteer firefighter, an honest, powerful businessman taking risks, versus a guy who advances 5 levels on Halo, for example. Now, don't misunderstand me. We all have both masculine and feminine essences, and none of these particular qualities should summarize or be the complete person. A man who listens well to his partner and changes the diapers of the kids and takes the kids to the playground is admirable on all counts. He's expressing his feminine essence as well. That's a good thing. But to be a fearless lover in a masculine way, to truly ignite sexual polarity in the feminine, as we talked about in the last episode, the masculine must embody and enact what Data calls nothing less than his killer. Ah, killer. Doesn't mean a killer of others, but a killer of his own mediocrity, of his own half-sleep, of his own narcissism, a killer of his own closure, a killer of his enslavement to his ease and not living at his edge, a killer of the fears that he carries with him, that he's probably carrying from childhood or adolescence or earlier relationships. There is something so powerful and so attractive about a man who can kill all the fears that are holding him back from his fullest expression of his fullest, fiercest, fearless, loving self. The man who loves fully, no matter what. Now, honestly, truthfully, a lot of us face a problem. A service economy, like we live in, a cubicle life, for example, does not really serve men living at their edge. And that's created a lot of confusion and a sense of failure for men. So a man's urge to masculine freedom can become cramped and kinked, and a woman can no longer feel his innate sexual charge. She might like a guy like this, who's a good guy, a great fella, but she doesn't crave to get close to a man to feel that unique, masculine, inner-directed freedom that she generally doesn't produce inside herself, that she wants so she can trust a man, and she has a natural drive to connect, nurture, give life to, and in some ways surrender to that trustworthy man who tests himself in the world. There's a passion there. Think about artists who work 18 hours a day in their lofts, or George Clooney making his own movies, or Richard Branson branching out into entirely new fields. Even Donald Trump with his ridiculous mindset and his ridiculous haircut. He's a self-directed man living out his freedom. How powerful is this sense of freedom? I remember when Donald Rumsfeld, as incompetent and arrogant a boob as has ever occupied public office in the United States, he was voted the sexiest man in America. And it was largely because he embodied masculine freedom to an extreme degree. Now, unfortunately for everyone, this freedom was untempered by judgment and wisdom, which are two aspects of the third pillar of the gift of the masculine, which is presence. To bring your masculine gift to your feminine lover, you must move toward living your freedom to be your most expressed self fearlessly, and that means killing what holds you back. Now, not killing the people that hold you back, but killing the habits and the mindsets that hold you back. That's inner fearlessness. Polarity is magnetic attraction. It's not just an expression. A man who can bring the gift of the masculine, freedom, presence, purpose, exerts a gravitational pull to a woman who, in return, will express her natural radiance of life and flow. And we will get into that in a couple of episodes down the line. The third pillar of the masculine gift in service of creating fearless love is presence, embodying presence. And we'll get to that in a moment. But right now, we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. This is Adam Gilad, and you're listening to The Fearless Lover on Personal Life Media. We'll be right back.
Listen to Coaching the Life Coach, business and marketing strategies for growth of transformational practices with Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is The Fearless Lover on Personal Life Media, and I'm Adam Gilad, and today we are talking about the gift of the masculine to the dance of love, as seen through the work of David Deida, D-E-I-D-A, and in particular through the first part of one of his books called The Way of the Superior Man. Before the break, we were talking about honing the gift of freedom. Freedom being the second of the three pillars of the gift of the masculine. Now we're going to talk about presence, the third pillar. Now I've boiled down Deida's complex and fascinating thoughts on presence, on masculine presence, into one information-packed sentence. Want to hear it? Here it comes. Be still, wakeful, open, light in your body and a conscious witness to every little moment of your day. Now, don't worry. We're going to take those one at a time. Still, wakeful, open, light in your body and a conscious witness in every little moment of your day. Here we go. Still. What is stillness? Well, personally, stillness has been a hard-won practice for me. My chemistry teacher in high school used to call me a butterfly in heat, and my band teacher called me a jack-in-the-box. Now, I tend to be very kinetic. As you can tell probably from my voice, I get very excited about ideas, possibilities, adventures. I tend to move around a lot. I'm high energy. And sometimes that makes people a little jumpy. Now, studying karate for years and eventually teaching it actually helped me develop stillness in my body. Yoga helps too. It's humbling, to say the least. It teaches me stillness, breathing down into my muscles, balance, and smoothness of motion. Now, breathing exercises help. I mean, this constantly returns to me as a fascinating source of information. We think of breathing as something so natural, so easy. It's not. Conscious breathing can utterly change how a woman perceives a man's body and how a man perceives another man. A deep breath and just holding your body still, taking a breath into your stomach and slowly letting it out can utterly change your physical presence. A great practice. Sometimes I'll do it before walking into a room or into a discussion. Now, here's an exercise also for the gift of masculine stillness. When you're talking to people, hold your eyes steady in eye contact. Do not be the one to break eye contact first. Be aware of your breath in and out. Keep a steady cycle and stay utterly focused on the intent coming from the person opposite you and keep your eyes locked. Men will assess you as stronger. Women will sense your masculine solidity. The second term in that sentence was wakeful, and wakeful means staying present to the moment. There's a martial arts practice which teaches the ability to walk into a room and assess everything going on at once in one snap moment. You don't need to crane your neck. You don't need to swerve your eyes around. You are not jumpy. You're present, but you're aware of motion, of color, of people. This is a practice. When you walk into a room, if you're at a party, take a moment and open your awareness to everything going on around you. What people are doing, what their intent is, what their energy is, who's paying attention to whom. You probably know these things, but you're not picking them up. Where's the energy flowing? Who wants what? Be wakeful to the emotional life and needs of the people you encounter. And, of course, be wakeful to your own emotional life, your own needs, your own motivations as they change moment by moment. What arises inside you, and be wakeful to their attempt to take you over and take away your freedom. The next word in that sentence, open. Now, openness here I'll liken to a kind of vast, compassionate strength. Being open to the world means you do not collapse in the face of pain or perceived failure. Being open to your inner drama, allowing whatever comes up inside you to arise, and thousands of things will arise. For those of you familiar with Buddhist meditation, one of the clearest insights into the human mind is they call it the monkey mind because it chatters constantly. Sit for 10 minutes in meditation, just watching your mind if you've never done it, and you'll see 100 ideas and 100 thoughts come and go. I remember my smaller son once said, I was putting him to sleep, he says, Baba, he says, sometimes I have bad thoughts, and he didn't know what to do with them. And I think it was reassuring to let him know this concept of the monkey mind, that the mind just generates thoughts, fears, hopes, images, memories, projections, all the time. The thing about being open and wakeful is to not let them take you over, to be aware of them, to let them arise and pass away. Now, openness comes when you learn, admit, and own that ultimately there's no failure. Ultimately, there's only awareness and learning. Nothing is a bigger turnoff to women, and data goes into this, than a man who collapses in the face of challenge. Nothing is a bigger turnoff than a man who identifies as a victim and who blames others for his emotional state. Will life hurt you? Will you suffer malice and betrayal? Absolutely you will. I personally guarantee it, as those commercials say about Men's Warehouse. But how will you handle it when it happens? With anger, by lashing out? How about collapsing into a fetal position? I actually knew a woman whose husband would do that in private with her. They'd have an argument, he'd curl up on the floor and cry. Well, she left him, of course, and once she told me about that, it was very difficult for me to regard him with any deep masculine-to-masculine respect again. So in order to be a fearless lover, ask yourself honestly, in what ways do you collapse or escape? In what ways do you defend your woundedness by lashing out at the wounder, or at someone smaller or weaker or nearby? This kind of uncollapsible presence is tied into knowing your purpose in the moment and staying free despite what the world throws at you. If you want an image to carry with you, here's a beautiful one, and there's a reason it happens in movie after movie. It's unrealistic in reality, but metaphorically, it's what women crave from masculine. It's the old movie standard of the hero charging toward the bad guy, taking bullet after bullet into his body, or arrow after arrow, and yet somehow, miraculously, pressing doggedly forward to get off that one shot to accomplish his goal. It's a metaphor for all of us, for you, for me, in dealing with finances or family, and especially with women. If bullets are coming at you, and no one can fire bullets like women, you take them and you continue moving with utter presence, driven toward your highest purpose until you achieve that purpose. Just absorb the bullets as they come. Now, have you ever had a woman scream at you, if you're a man or if you're masculine? Have you ever had the feminine express such fury at you, and you stand there and you don't know what to do? One response is to collapse. One is to throw fury back, and that's most relationships. But there's a third alternative, and this is what we're talking about here, this kind of openness. Practice this. Stay still. Stay present in the storm of her fury, and your stillness, this gift of the masculine, will begin to emerge as a godlike quality that she can only stand back and admire, if not worship, afterwards. Now, it may take 10 seconds, it may take 10 minutes, it may hit her the next day. But I think you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been through this, when all that feminine fury, wild hair, goddess energy comes at you, and you, as the masculine, stand firm and unmoved and steady in your vision of where this moment needs to go in order for everyone to find productive resolution. I guarantee divinity, worship, and extra bonus, probably the best sex of your life afterwards. Polarity means that as the masculine, you're delivering women what they can't easily create for themselves. In Data's terminology, if you are the masculine, then they are the wild ocean and you are the steady ship heading toward harbor. They are the madly flapping flag and the wind, and you are the flagpole. To give the gift of the masculine, to be a fearless lover from a masculine essence, is to allow the feminine dance of chaos, of emotions, swirl around you and stay still and present. Now, Data gives very specific body practices. He is a very accomplished yogi, to stay open in the face of storm and trial and wounding. And those include standing straight with your shoulders back, not arrogantly, not aggressively, not confrontationally, but straight and solid. Soften your chest and belly, wide and free, and breathe deep into your belly. Always look directly into the eyes of who you are with. Let her know that you're with her and not running away from her fury. Stay awake to feeling your own pain, because it may hurt to hear these things, but stay awake to her pain as well. Remain unguarded, directly connected. Don't close off pain. Stay as a witness to what's happening in the moment. Now, I think it was Data who developed an amazing exercise, and one should not die without witnessing this. An exercise to demonstrate how much the masculine is actually capable of with the feminine. He'll line up 20 women in a workshop in front of a guy and have them just barrage him with insults, the worst, cruelest, most vicious, on-target, castrating things they can scream at the top of their lungs. Not made-up stuff, real stuff. And the guy will hear their words, and it will hurt. But eventually, he can only laugh as he discovers his true core, that he's still alive. In his true core, all that female storming comes and goes. Often the guy will laugh as he's released of his own closure and as he opens into a greater freedom beyond anything they can throw at him, beyond anything he's ever known. As the masculine, it's your openness to this moment, your ability to transcend the moment, not being closed but open to everything and still being conscious beyond that storm, that allows your light as the masculine to cut through the storm clouds, because you haven't been crushed and you haven't been exploded. If you're a man listening to this, have a woman listen to this, ask her if she knows what that's about. Now, next word is lightness. Now, it's no coincidence we're talking about laughter, because it's the laughter in the face of death. It's the lightness of not allowing yourself to get caught up in temporary drama, to take the long view. You as the masculine can see the humor in what the feminine might feel like as a life and death drama of the moment. Data teaches that masculine sense of humor, and I'm not talking about sarcasm or scorn or nastiness, but the masculine sense of humor is a kind of breadth of vision, a lightness of presence that can maintain focus on the highest goals, even in the midst of storm and scorn. It's a key aspect of masculine polarity and a core quality of being a fearless lover, being able to really laugh at yourself and laugh at any situation, not as an escape, but as a way of not being overwhelmed and a way of taking in a larger picture. Humor is a natural corrective to the emotional flood of fear, which is why we laugh in scary movies right after the scariest moment. And guess what? Women almost always say the most important thing they look for in a man is a sense of humor. It's no coincidence. The gift of masculine humor, a light way of being unattached, helps her not get submerged in the flood of emotion. And this is how we serve each other. The next quality, in your body. Well, what does it mean to be in your body? Well, first it means that you're conscious of it. Are you displaying any nervous energy, twitching, unnecessary movement? In conversation, women will often feel that as a distraction and weakness. Second, it also means being aware of your breath. We were talking about that. Just to slowly take in your breath, feel it deep in your belly, release it slowly, feel it coming in and out, will calm your body, put you in your body. Also, where do you hold the center of your energy? If you've ever studied martial arts, and I recommend to the masculine particularly that you do, you'll learn about ki or chi. A woman, most women, certainly the feminine, and most men can sense if a man is centered in his belly, the grounded ki spot, or if his energy is way up here in his shoulders or his throat and he's talking and he's chattering. There's no depth there. There's no presence there. It feels like a different kind of lightness, not the lightness of humor, but the kind you can blow over with a feather. Other guys hold their energy way up in their heads. It's hard to take that kind of man seriously. You find that in young men. Still others hold it in their shoulders. They swing their shoulders with a swagger, kind of simian. And as it happens, young women will often respond to that. It's sexually polarizing, but wiser women will sense the insecurity there. Some hold their energies in their hands. It's definitely goes with some cultures. May feel jittery and unstable. The point is, learning to center your energy is a body practice. It's hard to teach over an audio podcast, but I can say, be aware of your body. Be aware where your energy is. Where's your center? Are you grounded? Recommendation for now, take a martial arts class, bring it up with your teacher, ask for help. Also, great practice, and I got this one directly from David Data, have women rearrange your body until they feel you are standing in full presence. Have them manipulate your hips, your legs, change the direction of your feet, your shoulders, your neck, your head, your jaw, your face, until you're relaxed and presence. Women love doing this. It's like playing with a live doll, and they get to create and bring out the masculine that you really are so that you can give the gift that they crave. Finally, being the conscious witness. We've talked about what it means to maintain a vast mind, something more enduring and infinitely larger than the drama of any moment. Maintaining conscious witness means that you're feeling what's going on around you, no matter how wild, but you do not take on the chaos. To put it simply, you keep your wits about you. Data calls this being able to relax into the source. That means, essentially, you are tapped into a reality larger than the details. Your job, your kids, your girl, your money, your creations, your pleasures. He says that they're all superficial and empty if they are not floating in the deep sea of your conscious loving. This vast well that's available to the masculine more easily than to the feminine. This vast well of effortless, infinite love and holding space for the world is the masculine source of stillness, of perspective, and, as it happens once again, of sharply increased sexual polarity. Well, how do you practice this? Well, first of all, you have to practice it. It's something that only develops in practice. Here are three ways. First, read books that remind you of who you are in truth, that give you a larger cosmic perspective. Well, maybe it's religion and spirituality. Maybe it's science or biology. Anything that enlarges you beyond the impact of the details of the momentary. Two, spend time with people who inspire and reflect what it's like to be relaxed into the source. Pay attention to spiritual leaders. It could be a professional teacher or could be a business leader. Could be the old guy who lives down the block who's happy all the time. It could be the widow who has healed brilliantly, someone I know in my life, for example. Or someone who is virtually egoless and lives in service. Follow them, watch them, and seek out teachers. You can find some of these teachers if you go to thefearlesslover.com. I list some of my favorites. They do workshops. Fantastic. Three, meditate. None of these lessons and no personal growth is going to do anyone any good if they don't have a certain level of control over the monkey chatter of the mind. True personal development comes by changing your thinking habits, not just tweaking how you've always been. It goes deeper. A good meditation practice will teach you, will provide you a user's manual for your brain, so that you can take it in the directions you want to go and not be led around by the chaos of rising emotions, thoughts, fleeting impulses, and reactions. This is why the masculine loves meditation. And Data talks about how the masculine loves to empty the mind, right? Zen Buddhism and Vipassana, these are very masculine expressions, whereas the feminine expression of knowing oneself may come through dance and movement. Masculine polarity emanates from the man whose consciousness absorbs everything thrown at it, but does not become overwhelmed and stays on task of the highest goals. Masculine polarity of the conscious witness does not get caught up and swayed by the changing BS of everyday life. Even when you are laser focused, practice maintaining a consciousness of the vastness of time and space. Be careful, because you can get so micro-focused on business or on your how-to-do list, you will miss the grandeur of life altogether. Here's a catchphrase for you. Inhabit the grandeur. Live in the grandeur. Dissolve into the grandeur and not the picayune. This is the gift of the masculine. Do this, and what seems like a huge problem to the feminine mind will be nothing but a breeze to you. And she will love and admire you for your steadiness, your humor, your capacity to hold all without being bowled over or absorbed into the passing bothers of daily life. There is one final thought. I wanted to break that last word down in the moment, right? To be a conscious witness in the moment. Now, if you're the kind of man who gives your fullest gift, whatever that is, during the day in your work, socially, dating, sex, parenting, as a child or artisan or whatever, so that when you go to sleep, you know you couldn't have lived your day with more courage, creativity, and giving, you will be an utterly different man. You will be giving your gift as the masculine. When you're in conversation, be fully in that conversation. If you can't concentrate because your purpose has you needing to finish a task, Data recommends tell your conversant you will finish your task and then you'll return to her, for example, with your full conscious attention. Better than faking like you're paying attention is to actually go take care of what you need to do and promise you'll return with full attention and then deliver it. Practice looking people steadily in the eye. They will feel you're in the moment. When you feel random thoughts arise, let them go and refocus on the task or person at hand. If you're presented with an unpleasant task, lean into that and handle it with full presence, not with distaste. Recently, I had to handle an unpleasant breakup. I knew it was over and she didn't. And when the phone rang, I easily could have put it off, and believe me, I thought about it. But I stopped what I was doing, took a deep, deep breath, took the call, even though it was a nuisance. This kind of presence can be that small. Handling what arises with full presence will utterly change who you are. Okay, so those are the three pillars of masculine polarity, the gift of the masculine that I've extracted from the way of the superior man, that are practices that can help create fearless love in your life. I've tried to give practices that make them come alive for you. Obviously, there's work for all of us to do consistently to serve our unique purpose and inhabit absolute freedom and to stay present in the face of whatever arises. These may not be things you're going to master today or tomorrow, but the things that you will master day by day, practice by practice, choice by choice, every day. Now, before we finish, I want to take a couple of moments to point out what I'll call the near enemies of the qualities we've been discussing. Because it's very easy to listen to this kind of stuff and get caught up in the noble qualities and thinking that, wow, now that we've heard it, we're expressing them because we heard it. And in fact, what we're expressing are our own neuroses instead of the qualities, dressed in the clothing of the qualities. Now, I get this idea of near enemies from the Buddhist tradition. Near enemies are qualities that are close to true expression, but in fact, they become enemies of the quality you're trying to express by actually replacing them. So here's a real quick wake-up call. Let's look at the pillars themselves: purpose, freedom, presence. The near enemy of purpose is radical selfishness. You think you're serving a high purpose, but instead you're escaping being present to those you love. In the movie Hair, if you remember that one, the musical, there's a painful and right on target song called Easy to Be Hard. And the lyrics are, how can people be so heartless? How can people be so cruel? It's easy to be hard. It's easy to be cold. How can people have no feelings? How can they ignore their friends? It's easy to be proud. Easy to say no. And here's the part I want to focus on. Especially people who care about strangers, who care about evil and social injustice. Do you only care about the bleeding crowd? How about a needing friend? I need a friend. So the near enemy of purpose is caring about the bleeding crowd, but not the person right in front of you, your friend, your needing friend. Okay, the near enemy of freedom is dismissal. To be free is to be free as yourself, not free from the reality of others. Careful of that one. It's very tempting. The near enemy of presence is inauthenticity. You act like you're really there for someone, but in your mind, you're scheduling events and thinking about returning calls, or quite often thinking, what can I get out of this person? What am I going to say next? Now, women are better at picking up this kind of inauthenticity than men are, mostly because men are mostly guilty of it and busy thinking, and so we're not picking up what other people are actually doing or thinking. The near enemy of stillness is passionlessness. The near enemy of wakeful is groundlessness. When you're so awake to the stimuli of the moment, you lose your grounding in your own life and values, mission, purpose, freedom. The near enemy of being open is contentlessness. They say an open mind can be like a sieve. Everything just passes through. Nothing sticks. Don't mistake openness for not having any groundedness in your commitments and core beliefs. You can test your commitments and core beliefs, but don't think giving up yourself, your beliefs, at the drop of a hat is openness. Openness means being open to the fullness of experience in front of you and still being able to move where you need to go to serve your highest purpose. The near enemy of lightness is flippancy. Masculine lightness of being is the ability to not get swamped by waves of feeling or emotion. Does not mean that you do not take the moment seriously. You can certainly encounter the world with a serious lightness or light seriousness and witness the comedy of David Cross, for example, or Robert Klein or early George Carlin or Bill Cosby. Serious subjects taken lightly. The near enemy of being in your body is self-absorption. Those especially new to body practices like yoga will be so impressed with the changes they may be undergoing, they may become insensitive or scornful of those who are not doing the same kind of practices. And the near enemy of being a conscious witness in every little moment of your day is that you can lose focus of your mission, which brings us back to where we began, to your sense of purpose as the gift of the masculine. David Deida talks about the intense attractiveness of a man who can stay on task in service of his highest purpose in the face of all kinds of distractions, especially those presented by our favorite distraction, which is women. Women may in the moment resent that the masculine doesn't pay attention to her because he's on task. But if you as the masculine are on task toward your highest purpose, and not falling prey to the near enemies we've just mentioned. And women are very, very good at pointing out the difference between near enemies and living the authentic value. And do not resent them for pointing that out, because that is their gift to you as the feminine, to have that kind of intuition and insight of that subtle difference. If you could not fall prey to being subject to the near enemies of these qualities, she will come to admire, accept, celebrate you as a gift to her and to the world. Now we're about out of time. So thanks for spending this time with me. It's a fascinating, rich, beautiful subject. Next week, we'll be exploring specific practices to help the masculine, to help you give the gift of the masculine into the pool of love. And by doing that, by the way, it evokes the feminine coming back at you in all its radiant splendor. These are practices developed or inspired by the work of the man we've been discussing these last two sessions, David Deida. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this week's session. To enter a conversation about the show, please go to my blog at personallifemedia.com and post a comment, or send an email to me at fearless@personallifemedia.com, or call me at 206-350-5333 and let me know if I can play your question on the air. For other shows on this Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at www.personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Adam Gilad. This has been The Fearless Lover. And remember, just be love.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.